If you have a question, please do raise your hand, and we have a microphone. Is that not right?
There was a question put in externally before the event. I was wondering if you could get that one out now because it's on topic, and then we can go on.
Okay. We have a question from Alan Patrick about form, he'd love to know what you're proposing to explain to Sir Tim to change his preconceptions. You said that you wanted to brief him. So that was 13 minutes ago on the web. Secondly, is it true that there was some covert testing at BT before you launched the service?
Tim, who we all love, I don't think he's really... He wasn't specifically talking about us. I think it may have been a leading question about what do you think of these types of services? And quite rightly, he's got his own opinion. But I think we just like to brief him properly on what we're actually doing, and how we have really paid a huge amount of attention to the privacy issue. We'd be completely mental not to have, We're a business. I wouldn't have joined this company from Yahoo if I didn't think they paid enough attention to privacy. The amount of work that's gone into this is, you don't need to know, but it's a lot, It's the main thing. So I just liked, all we want is a fair shout, really. We want to explain what we're doing, and then if, everybody's entitled to their own opinion, and we give you an easy way to say, no, I don't want that. Do not want. Well, as the lolcats go, then, it's fine to go. Do not want. Just turn it off.
Then does that behove, your founders to, explain more and use more channels to, to explain how it works and why you're protecting the consumer?
Yeah, I think obviously we did do on purpose that people don't understand what we're doing. I think a lot of people just haven't really read all. God forbid there is somebody that misinformed on the internet. I don't know how many times it happens, but, I'm amazed. But, it's just read what it is. And if you don't like it after you've had the full explanation of what it is, that's fine. But we'd like a fair shout, really. Good. I think we're doing a lot more than, practically anybody.
What do users actually get? They're giving you, you're going to make quite a lot of money out of them. Advertisers are going to, are going to hopefully spend quite a lot of money with you, especially given your share price at the moment. But what do the users get for giving up this?
Users actually at the currently get anti-phishing, and that's active anti-phishing. A lot of people go, Windows is that built in. It's like the people who are actually at risk from phishing don't know how to turn it on, or have just pressed boxes, turned it off. Don't have old computers that may not have it built in. We are giving a service, and it's anti-phishing. It's at webwise.com, if you want to go and have a look. And I'm sure other things will come out of that,
Okay. I would like to throw this thing open to questions now. And there was a question over there. Thank you very much indeed. If you wouldn't mind saying who you are and where you're from, that would be great.
I'm Howard Scott, head of digital at the Marketing Store. Sorry, a question about form. Why don't you make it opt-in?
I mean, the ISP question, we provide a platform. You can make it whatever you like. You'd have to ask the ISPs about that.
One of them suggested they might be, I think. I don't know. So it's down to the ISP, apparently. Okay. Another question over here. Thank you very much.
Andy Evans, Managing Director of Net Communities. I was just in the gents, and there was an advert there. There was an advert there for people that wanted to join the
form.
Yeah. people that wanted to work in prisons.
Oh, right, okay.
I don't remember wanting to work at a prison when I was young. I don't remember growing up thinking, when I grow up, I want to work in a prison. Yeah. But so. How would you do that with targeted advertising? How on earth would you make that happen? And with your comments, I'm with you all the way, because you need to have advertising which is interruptive, which says, hey, have you ever thought of this? Is this a good idea? Will you want to do that? And if we try and go with a too targeted idea, you know, you're going to lose all those brands, you're going to lose all those opportunities, you lose those ideas. Mm-hmm. We can go too targeted. So I just want to throw that back at you again, because I'm really not buying your story.
Yeah, fair enough. And the problem which I have with advertising in general is there's always too much noise. And when I really want it, when I'm really looking or searching for something, I never really find it. Like if I'm looking for a mortgage or when trying to buy the right bike. And my question really was trying to understand the user's context, because that is a really hot lead compared to the constant sound. Like, you know, you can hear the sound of aeroplanes flying in the air as well. It's a constant buzz that's going on. If you actually catch a person when they really are wanting to find something and use it and buy it, it's very difficult to come across, you know, the right information. So I'm just pointing out an opportunity here that if you actually align it to your user context when they're actively seeking, then you probably have a better lead to convert that compared to the general noise that happens.
Well, then that relates to the conversation that you're talking about. If you want to open a conversation, then there needs to be a crossbreed between PR and advertising, which enables that kind of conversation to happen, you know, which is where things are missing, right?
It's really hard. I agree that, yeah, the conversation is a great thing, and if you are Coca-Cola, you can probably just about manage it. But frankly, I can't imagine anyone opting in to receive advertising about soap powder, shampoo, or soft drinks. I mean, is there anybody in this room who would opt in to receive advertising about shampoo? And yet, shampoo, probably one of the larger advertising categories out there, is going to be, you know, sort of the cosmetics, healthcare kind of side of things. And I wouldn't bother to opt in. You're losing out on a lot of money, mate.
Yeah, but I think in that case, you might not opt in to receive advertising about it, but you might see advertising that offers you a free sample. God knows how many free samples of shampoo have you seen in your life? You know, if you can deliver them to the actual people that are actually interested in shampoo samples, that'd be great. But I don't think it's not like we do this or we do this. You know, we're going to do all of them. It would be great if everybody put all their money in Form tomorrow. I totally recommend you do that. But, you know, realistically, I don't think every single ad ever served on the internet is going to be in Form, though it should be.
I think you raise a really good question, which is, if you look at the majority of advertising spend online, most of it is focused on people who already know what they're looking for. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to improve your selectivity of your brand within an existing market. Actually, what most advertising investment is set against is in trying to grow an existing market or grow a new market for a brand. And I think that what we shouldn't get into is and or. We should get into both. And I think it's really important for us not to try and look at these as two different types of advertising investment. They're the same advertising investment for the same brand, designed to do different jobs.
There are plenty of search engine advertisers who will just go and look for PR opportunities and say, "This my competitor is doing this, I'll buy all the keywords around that. And I'll make sure I intercept those people before they reach their PR rather than reach my PR." And there's not enough integration between the PR and the advertising and marketing things that's going on. If you want to attract an audience, create a conversation, or create something stimulating and put some kind of advertising message around it that's going to then create some kind of interest. And if you want to try and grab people's attention, then that's what you should be doing. But there's not enough of that going on at the moment. I don't believe it's just bang out advertising, buy the low CPM. Yeah. And so there is an issue there, but we're still very, very, very immature, and there's lots and lots to learn, and every day is a school day, you know, and maybe in another 10 years' time, we'll be having a much more intellectual conversation.
Every day is a school day.
Yeah, so, I mean, just to finish, I was at a conference, and the guy from Vodafone, the European marketing manager, just ended his speech with, "The internet is just about whether you're boring or interesting," and that was his end, and I just thought, actually, that's right, isn't it? Really, you know, that's what it's about, you know, at the end of the day.
Well. Just going back to your earlier point, besides the boring interesting, I really think the opportunity here is to create interesting services, which doesn't feel like advertising. And the fact is, you say whether I'm opt-in and opt-out is because you know you're going to get junk in the first place. If you gave me something of value, and again, banging on about value, the UPS widget, what Nike is doing as well, that's actually creating value around their product. It's not an interruption, and that's what I was trying to allude to earlier.
Any more questions out there? Yes, we have one over here. And you have a mic? Good. Oh, hello,
Sam. It's Sam from Chinwag. I wondered if I could ask the panel. It feels to me that the PR world, and of course what Priya is saying about conversations, coming to the front, in a way, are challenging the preeminence of the media playing and buying and traditional TV model of buying and selling advertising. And we've gone from several standard formats to thousands of different formats and different ways of buying media, and it's getting terribly, terribly complicated. Would the panel like to take a punt on which of these formats they think are going to succeed and which ones are going to be popular? Or from the PR, are the PR guys going to rule the day and the media planners are going to turn into PR people in the end?
Okay. Out of all the 2,000 formats that Sam's talking about, if we could have any thoughts in any kind of order on the panel, that would be great.
Come on, that was an easy question.
I've always liked pop-ups.
Yeah.
Just go on. Don't get drawn into that.
We've got a vote for pop-ups here on the left. Rhys.
Yeah, it's almost impossible not question to answer, isn't it?
Well, I think what we will see happening is you know, media owners, we know that obviously more internet users are kind of being driven into digital channels, and we're seeing that kind of transition from sort of traditional channels into digital. We all know that. But what maybe we're not so aware of is that media owners are, certain media owners are struggling to kind of deliver the kind of yields that they get online that they get offline. So they make more money per user offline than they do online. I know the format is obviously important, but actually the way that we buy that media, the way it's traded, you know, and we've kind of talked about it today, that how difficult it is to do stuff with, you know, it is harder buying the kind of widgets and buying some of the more integrated placements and the video content. It's harder to actually do that, to buy it. It's harder to deliver it. It takes more time. And media owners don't necessarily make as much money off it, off the back of it. So what I think I think you'll see happening is a kind of move toward the exchanges and to kind of auction-based trading of media, where advertisers are paying more for the value of the kind of clicks and the value of kind of responses that are being driven through. But I wouldn't like to make a call on which placements will actually do it. But
I think one of the things that widgets and, you know, applications, I did talk about this at Yahoo for quite a while, and Yahoo are actually doing this a lot, and this embedding content in, you know, externalizing your website. This idea of pushing for people through a banner to a website is quite weird, when you can now put the website in the banner, so you're right there, you know. That's, if I think of any, it's not really a format, but it's a trend. And things like the UPS widget and things like that, you know, forget websites. Take the bit of your website that people need and push it towards them, or the bit that's fun, and put it in an ad, put it in front of them, put it on their desktop, put it on their blog. That, I think, is a huge trend, if there is a trend there. That's what I think.
You're going to upgrade your prediction from pop-ups,
are
you?
It's not really pop-ups and pop-unders.
Oh, damn.
This is a weird thing. How many people have read the book Pattern Recognition? It's probably not going to be that many. Yeah. Not really. Okay, for those who are watching on podcast, it's the entire room. you can see PR has actually rubbed off on me. Yeah, watching on podcast. I don't know. There is this weird thing that you can buy now. It's not the internet. It's not web stuff. It's not mobile stuff. You can actually buy people's conversations, and this is kind of freaking me out slightly. You might already be aware of it. There are companies out there. Yeah, P&G has a fabulous thing called Tremor. There's another thing you can buy called Buzz Agent. This is based on the ground on the assumption that the average adult has something like 20 branded conversations a day, whereas the average teenager has about 60 branded conversations a day. We all talk about brands whenever we are talking to our friends. It's a very sort of, you know, it's actually part of the utility of brands in a weird way. And what I can do now is I can buy conversations. I can pay people to go out and talk to their friends about my brand and my product. I find this truly wonderful.
I'm not sure if it's ethical. There are ways of making it ethical, and there are ways of making it less ethical. As you'd think, the less ethical ways are much more effective, but probably have a tiny sort of rebound effect. But I find it brilliant that I can pay, for example, a bunch of actors to go out and pretend in the street that they want to have a photograph taken of themselves, and actually when it turns they find somebody there who's in Trafalgar Square, say, with walking by, and say, oh, can you take a photograph of me and my friends? And instead of handing them a camera, they hand them a mobile phone. And this is how Sony Ericsson actually launched their camera phone. Fabulous stuff. It's just weird. Offline is much weirder than online in some ways. But nowadays, I can actually just buy a given number of conversations. And if you talk to sort of buzz agent who are now in the country, they'll sell you conversations. That's an ad format for the future.
Sponsored brand conversations. We've got entire websites in banners, and we have ad exchange value. So anything else?
And the last bit I'll say is you have the classic ancient definition of brand being promises. I don't think it's anymore about being a promise. It's about delivery. You just deliver it, and then you talk about how well your delivery is, because brands now is actually about being a function and a useful function. So I think if we align ourselves to that, and if the function is aligned to what the customer needs are, then we'll come up with new formats, because right now the formats we have are not answering the questions we have here. So I still think it's ripe for innovation.
I think if the question is what format is going to win, I think the answer is the format is no format is going to win, and that a constant evolution of formats is probably going to be where we are. And the big challenge for all of us is to find a successful business model where we are able to implement multiple formats quickly and effectively, cost-effectively, for clients and for ourselves. Because otherwise, what we will end up with is we'll end up with talking about buying conversations and launching mobile phones. Not that I disagree with it, but if you look at what advertising has been doing, it's been buying celebrities and sticking them on TV using products for years, hence we have brands. So nothing is new there. I think it's important that we remember, ultimately, that if we create something which is interesting to people, then they will talk about it. And personally, I would rather get people talking about me for free than having to pay them.
Okay. Any final questions before we wrap up? Okay, we have one here. Thank you. If the microphone could come forward from Sam, wherever it was. Thank you. Thank you. We might make this the last one.
Yeah, hello, Alex Cooper from 1UP Search. It's more of a statement, really, on the ad formats, but we only really work with one ad format at the moment that seems to deliver for our clients, and that's just basically a little box with about 90 characters in it that appears next to some keywords when they're typed in. At the moment, that seems to be the most effective. I was just going to see if any of the panel thought that that was going to ever evolve to something a little bit more exciting, I guess.
I think other brands' mileage may vary. That's, you know, it depends what brand you're doing. That might work.
What perfectly. If you haven't got a brand?
Pardon? Pardon?
There are companies that don't have brands, and yet they're able to achieve a ROI from a 90 character.
Obviously, there's no brand. You know, what works for one company may not work for another company. You know, there's certainly companies out there that just do text advertising and it works perfectly for them, but that's I think the general thing is there's no one format that's going to win. It's going to be everything. It's not a one size fits all, I think.
I'm all for the classified advertising stuff. I think it's great.
I was talking more about Google AdWords alongside searching, rather than the personals.
Is it not much the same? I'm looking for, you know, like I'm looking for a new bed or a TV. But really, when it comes to this, preference surely still comes down to brand, and my needs awareness still comes down quite often. You know, I didn't know that I needed a new shampoo which had conditioner in it until, you know, I was told that I needed it.
You've clearly used it.
It's good, isn't it? Actually, it's a new haircut.
I know.
I just
watched. He's been paid to say that.
A lot of stuff about shampoo ads tonight, aren't there? I use Volumizer. Do you use Volumizer, Priya?
I wish I could get rid of it.
We need to put more brands into this conversation. We're not making enough money.
Reese, getting back to the question. quickly, yeah. You know, I think this search
obviously kind of talking about search there, and that's obviously a really interesting area at the moment, and the engines are investing quite a lot of money in image search and video search as well, and we, you know, expect to see them be kind of big growth areas probably over the next couple of years. And I was thinking the other day about image search and the fact that people are saying, oh, you know, what does it matter whether you've got an image on next to your kind of your keyword text? And I thought, well, hang on, you go onto eBay and you search for something on eBay, you know, and you always tend to click on the kind of, well, certainly I do, on the eBay listings that have got a picture of what you're actually buying, even if I know what it is next to it. Yeah. So you know, I certainly think that kind of those areas are going to see a lot of growth, and I think we'll make search marketing even more successful.
In the absence of lots of talk about search, which we could have spent loads of time on, I would actually put a vote in for search, dynamic search, personalised search, social search, all those sorts of things are revolutionising the medium and making it easier to find what we want and talk about what we want to talk about. I'd also put a vote in for 3D talking tattoos, which are also brand ambassadors. With that, everybody, we'll wrap up. Please put your hands together for Priya from Hachette Filippini, Rhys Williams from Agenda 21, Stephen Hess from Weapon 7, me, Guy Phillipson from the IAB, Dave Barrow from Yahoo and now of Form, who are a marvellous firm. And that's Form with a PH if anybody wants to type it into a search engine of your choice. And Matt Morrison from Peter Navelli PR. So put your hands together for the panel. Thank you very much.
Chinwag Live, tomorrow's ad formats, was supported by Kool and DoubleClick. Kool is the leading provider of video advertising platforms for creating, enhancing, and managing clickable, interactive online videos. DoubleClick is your ally and guide in achieving success with digital marketing, whether you are a web publisher, marketeer, or advertising agency.